How's it going? How was your Mother's Day?
Good.
Outstanding. What did you guys do?
Ate
lots of food.
So, I don't have a mic, so I guess I have to speak up. I can't hear you. Mark and I had something planned. More of a message time. Type thing. But we decided the last minute we kind of changed things up here a little bit. Since it's Mother's Day, I personally like it when we all put in our own input and share stories or whatever. And since it's Mother's Day, that's really a good day to share stories or things that we appreciate about our mothers. So, anyone have something they'd like to share? No? I know.
I'll start us off with something.
See, well, I've seen these things work before because Ralph does them.
Yeah, people all over that.
And you just sit here and you wait. I don't know, maybe 5 minutes goes by and someone's like, okay. And then they just start coming. So, Mark, you got one?
I got something. Okay. I think I got something. No, I got lots of stuff. Hi, Mom. How's it going back there? Well, it was cool growing up with being raised by my mom and my dad, but every, like, good Christian family, you know, it's hard to have that structure as you grow up, so I was really fortunate to have that as growing up. And my mom did a lot of good things for us kids. You know, we got spanked a lot. We did a lot of not so good things sometimes. A lot of really weird things too. I'm sure all of us kids have stories of our moms like that. Okay, that's my part right now.
You got the mic. I don't know somebody. Yeah.
Yeah, you.
Okay, I remember. When Ginger and the little white pony come back and they're all ready to die, I start crying. And the only one that comes home is, Mom, why did Ginger have to die? I just like, it's okay. I was just doing your stuff.
That's what I remember.
Yeah.
My birthday is real close to Mother's Day. And it was when I turned 7. My dad was working at a factory where they made certain paper bags and cardboard boxes and stuff. And I think they made cardboard anyway, they used it. And so my mom went and got a big cardboard box and she made enough cupcakes for everybody in my first grade class. I put it in this cardboard box and brought it to school and gave me a birthday party in my school class.
Wow.
Yeah, my mom.
Yeah, Angel.
Back in my kindergarten and first school, my mom would always send hours to me for some homework in turn or dance and for my dad's homework. And like, I forget, it was like kindergarten when she was working with me on it. I was the only one who ever got that homework right in my class. She did stuff like that and she was always trying to helped me and do better so I can get to a good college and
live
a good life.
So,
that's pretty
I remember,
cool.
I get to say it. I remember growing up, me and my older brother, this is before Riley came into the picture, me and my older brother used to get into it a lot, and my mom had to put up with a lot. And she still does. But me and my brother, I remember we shared a bedroom, and we had one bed. And before bedtime, we always used to go in there and just tear the room up and just be loud and obnoxious. And I remember we had wood floors, And we knew when mom was coming because she would come stomping in. And you could hear it through the wood forest. And every time she'd come into the room and she'd say, "I've had enough to hear with you guys." And we're like, uh-oh, you know, it was time this time. We better calm down. But I remember one time it didn't work because I started to remember how high she would raise her hand. And so one time, the stomps weren't as loud, and instead of being overhead, it was a little bit under. So I kept messing around with the stuff in my room, and I don't think that made her too happy. But she always slept with a lot. She never gave up. So, appreciate that. Yeah. Oh, lucky heaven.
I can remember one time that my mom forgot me at church.
Oh.
there was about 8 of us or 9 of us that were actually going to church in the station wagon. So I guess it was hard to keep town. We get to go in the station wagon and we all get on the back. This was before car seats or seat belts were a thing. And I was about 7 years old. I thought, no way, I just walked home. I'm pretty sure I was pretty mad at my mom for leaving me, and I thought, I just walked home. And I walked down, it's like, you'd be like walking on First Avenue in Geary, and I was walking down the street trying to find ways to get myself home, how, you know, if I can recognize things. And I guess they realized at home that I never made it to the house. I threw them back at the church and looked for me, couldn't find me. They started driving that street. They were just driving back and forth. I don't know how they found me, but they found me. And, you know, looking back, I think I was pretty mad at how much they had left me, but then what I put them through, I mean, that must have been like the most agonizing 2 hours of their lives.
Yeah.
You know, now
I'm a mom,
so that's kind of cool. They actually went looking for
her. I've got a great scripture for that. In Isaiah chapter 49, Isaiah is talking, he says, "The Lord has forsaken me, the Lord has forgotten me." Make a statement. The next sentence says, "Can a mother forget the baby of her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? Though she may forget, I will not forget you." And, you know, if you think about mothers in general, they don't forget any of their children. And though some may go astray or go different from them, they want them to be reared, or may not please them at certain times, the mother always loves her children. And, you know, they may not always know how to show it or describe it. So that's what a comfort that we always know God is there for us. But I think about mothers, and they'll never forget the children that they've had. And one thing I like to just share out now, if you know the Zamatas and what they're going through and what they're facing, share a card and to Melinda and your love. Reach out to her as a mother. It must be a hard day if you haven't known. She lost her child, but she knew she was going to possibly lose. And it's always tough. And but she'll never forget her little one. And just like God doesn't forget. And as the baby has gone to be with God, have that comfort of knowing there's something there about you.
Oh, I was just going to say, I really appreciate my mom because she's always there for me when I need to talk to her. I can go to her for anything. She's like my own personal Google. I call her sometimes a day. She calls me sometimes a day.
Yeah, she's become a better cook because of it. I appreciate her, Mom.
Yeah.
Well, there was one really tough time that I family went through when my dog died. We had had him since I was like a month or two old, and he died on Valentine's. I remember it was just really hard, and my mom was comforting me whenever I cried, and she was just really nice about it.
Oh, that reminds me.
Darwin, go ahead and go first. I just want to say, Teresa's mom is in pretty good company. I believe Jesus' mom
left him for a day or so in the caravan, never had to go back to Jerusalem and find him, and he was just teaching in the temple, so, you know, it's okay. Yeah, I'm sure the teaching they would understand.
Just trying to be like Jesus.
Yeah. I was going to say, I remember one time, we used to have a porch in house we lived in New York, and she had flower pots, and I know that it meant a lot to her because she was always out there working. I don't know how old I was, maybe 4 or 5 or something. And me and my brother, were playing around, and I don't remember how it happened, but I ended up knocking one over and it broke, it shattered. And I started crying because I was like, uh-oh, I broke Mommy's pot. And I was expecting like a spanking or something, but she was like, oh, it's okay, it's all right. Don't worry about it, it's just a pot. That was really relieving.
A mother's mercy.
Yeah.
Sorry, that reminded me of one time. My mom, she's in a ceramic class now. One of her projects, I don't know, but she has a ceramic, like a heel, a high heel. And it was on the mantle. And somehow it's my record playing, whatever, you know, and it broke. And I was like, and I was like, what happened? I'm like, I don't know. And I don't think Sarah found out, like, where she was. I think I told her. She's like, oh, it all makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just have a real appreciation for young mothers. My mom was pretty young when she had me, and it takes a lot of strength. So I just wanted to send out some encouragement to any young mothers in here and everything. I'm really proud of the things my mom has done in my life. And it's funny, like in the past, through my selfishness, I was kind of blind and seeing how much she's actually done for me. And looking back now, and I'm kind of chagrined by the way that I acted at some point in my life, because there's some times when I was just a little selfish and she was actually sacrificing more than I noticed. And so there's a lot of blessings that the Lord has given me to my mom. I'm really thankful for.
Becky and Carolyn.
That just reminds me of my mom. Like, growing up, I always had girlfriends over and just friends over to stay the night. And, you know, we'd be out in the living room, which is, like, right beside their room. And I know they went many, 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 many nights without sleep whenever they came over. And my mom was usually the one that I'd come out and say, okay, girls, it's time to go to sleep. And she'd always be super nice until it was like about 4 o'clock in the morning. And then she'd go and say, okay, that's enough. Time to go to sleep. We have to get up in 4 hours, you know. And, but she always was open to having people over to our house and having people kind of stay the night. And, you know, she was just always good about that. My graduation, I think we probably had 20 people over, and they stayed the night, and the girls slept in the living room, the guys slept out in the backyard, and my mom was like, helping us make pizzas and do a whole bunch of stuff. And she always did stuff like that growing up, and she was, that was really encouraging.
Well, I have so many memories, it's hard to kind of close in on one or two, but one thing I remember all the time is that Mama always was there when we were little at night. She read to us Bible stories and sang to us before we go to sleep, so that's a real vivid memory. The one song she sang that really stands out is Tell Me the Story of Jesus, but that's the one that she sang. I always hear her voice singing that to me. And then later on, as we grew older, well, she always worked. She was a nurse, and she worked a lot of times nights. So we really didn't miss her being gone to work because she was working when we were sleeping. I always wondered when she slept after I got older. But she always was there, and she always made things special. We didn't have very much money, but you know, it was always the birthday cakes and just she was always doing things for us. And then when I was much older, like in high school, so she's a real interest in the things that I would write, she would be interested in my homework, and sometimes I'd be too tired to read, like I had to read a novel or something, and I was sitting there reading, I got so tired, then she would read to me while, you know, give me a break. So those were really special things that then I mean, after we got married, and she always sent us a letter every week, and that was really nice, so I was getting a letter every week from her.
Yeah, I just need to mention a couple of things about our mom. So I thought I'd mention, I've always appreciated what the scripture told us that we forsake all for Jesus, including even our family we receive in this world many times over as well as it's been alive. And I am completely convinced that that's true, that we receive the mothers and brothers and sisters, you know, and fathers in the body of Christ, and there's so many families of lean Christian sense, and it's always been appreciated. I remember being a bachelor and Chris Leslie invited them for holidays. They even called me Chris Jessley or something, so like and just different mothers in the church, and it's been a lot, and help me learn how to be better. She appreciates that.
There's a good verse that I had ready to go with that in 1 Timothy 5. Verse 1 and 2, it says, "But do not rebuke an older man harshly, but exhort him as if he were your father. Treat younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, and younger women as sisters, and with absolute purity." So there it shows you that, you know, treat family like family.
I just want to say, like, with me and my sister and little, we have like six of us in a one-bedroom apartment, and we didn't really have the best of clothes and the best of shoes, and like they were doing junky stuff too, but like they always sit behind the scenes, and for some reason, like, we had a really good childhood. Like, despite like all of that stuff, it may look like it was bad, but like looking back at it, we had like the best times there. It was just lots of fun. And another thing is, like, all the moms here, some like Lucky and Roxanne, and even the younger people that aren't moms yet, like, they've like seriously taken me under their wings. Like, me and Tony, they're just so nice, and they just like helped us out. I don't know what I would do with this church and stuff.
Angel again.
A lot of people usually learn siblings from parents, teachers, or just siblings who are supposed to be raised, but my mom, every day in kindergarten, she would always reach me and reach me until I finally learned how to read myself, and she was the one who taught me to tie my shoes. She would have taught me most everything I know, like art, poetry.
Yes,
I remember my mom when I was kids, we have nightmares. I remember there was a time I went through like weeks and weeks of having nightmares, and there was a scripture that she taught us to repeat and say, and it was in Psalm 4:8 or something, and it says, "In peace thou wilt lie down, sleep without alarm, and the Lord make thee dwell in safety." There have been times now that I have both your child that my mom has teaches that, and she'd always tell us, you know, say your scripture, and then we'd always want to do this one thing. Just keep doing that over and over and over again until finally we're like, Jesus, you know, she would also, at night, there was a lot of times where she would stay up way later than we would and pray for us and pray for who we would marry. And I mean, this is when we were like 10, 12 years old, you know, she prayed for all of us kids and prayed for our mates. Whoever we married, she would pray for our kids and who they would marry, and she would pray for our grandkids. And that's something that she's always had on, and that's her legacy. And she said, you know, I want that to be something that you guys do. You guys pray for your kids, even if you don't have them. Pray for your kids, pray for their mates, pray for their kids, pray for their grandkids. That way, you know, the legacy of prayer is always going on. That's been a huge part of my life, to see her doing that, you know, to share that with us, make prayer an important part of our life.
Proverbs three or four times talks about listening to our parents. And one in Proverbs 1:8 says, "Listen, my son, to your father's instructions. Do not forsake your mother's teaching. They will be a garland to grace your head and a chain to adorn your neck." And I think what you're saying there is that scripture coming out, realizing later in your lives how much their teachings, and when you listen to them, and their counsel and their help is for you as you move forward, especially when you start your own family and moving forward.
Many of you probably identify with this, that the center of your home is not the living room, it's the kitchen. That's where mom is. It's cooking. And that was the case at our house when I was growing up. And I remember lots of times I'd stand and visit with my mom for a long time while she was cooking. In fact, just funny, years later, I started cooking stuff and I was amazed at how easy it was because I've been watching her. But those memories are really precious to me. My mom taught me a lot of this, like the book of Proverbs says. I've learned an awful lot from her about relationships.
You know, my wife wants our living room to be a place where all our kids go, but all of us can go to the kitchen.
I just want to say, I have comments that other mothers said. I appreciate my mom, because she was always at home during that. She was a stay-at-home mom, and that's the way I always wanted to be, and here she is. And I always appreciate her to be there. I got to walk from school and go home at lunchtime, and actually, at lunch later, that was really special. But I always appreciate her for being there, so that she can take that for granted, and it was great that she made that home. But I also appreciated, as I grew up in the church, that I had church moms all over the place. And Carolyn Chase was one, and Bonnie Bowles, and John Bell, Helen was a big mom because I thought we were going to have with kids. But having church moms that, you know, their examples, Christ in our home, that was always wonderful to me because, you know, it wasn't just at a home thing, and he didn't get it at school. He didn't get it out in the world, but it was a great reinforcement because he had a church family, and to grow up that way, that's such a blessing. I appreciate the women in the church that always, you know, took the kids in and enjoyed having kids in.
I remember, I think it was on the radio, I heard the other day, that moms do a lot, and they, I guess, every year, every few years, they count up, they try to put a value to how much mothers would make if it were their job, and I guess the total this year was something like $138,000 a year that they got paid for what they did.
I have to say what funny a thing about. I have to say a mom thing for Sam because he's not here. But he has this funny story of the magic handkerchief they had in his pocket. And in Mexico, you always have to take a handkerchief in your pocket because you don't have Kleenex. That's a new thing, you know. When we were kids, we used fabric ones, okay? So he had it in his pocket every time, every day he'd go to school, he'd wipe his nose or whatever, he'd pick it out, it was like spanking clean and ironed and everything. And then the next day he'd pull it out and there was no boogers on it. That's it. You know, he's like, this handkerchief is magic. Everyone has one out, it's clean. But it was that my mom would take the time, pull it out, and either put a brand new one or wash it out.
happened to put it and iron it up for him. That was
magic,
you know.
I don't know what you mean about time, but after a few years, like, doing something bad with my brother, I enjoy being able to tell my mom the foolish things that we did. It's okay. It's alright. Mom, did you know that we did this? Why, you did it? Yeah.
Can you go back to Becky? The time I was pregnant. One time, my mom was just getting really late. She was reading stuff and up. And I woke up, and I woke up like crying, you know. I woke up and I was crying. I had this nightmare that, like, you know how, like, how we have the mailboxes up there? It's not that, because it was UPS. Except it was with God, like, and God kept passing me by. So we weren't a Christian family at all. And I was so scared, because, like, God doesn't care about me. Yet. Like, God, like, my prayers, like, you know, like, I mean, I was, like, sick, you know, but still, I was so scared of my mom when they went to my mom. I was like, oh, God, I really care. Oh, God.
The thing my mom did for me when I was really little, I had a hard time sleeping in the room by myself, so she was, like, almost every night she would sit in the doorway and read her book until I fell asleep.
Yeah. When I was little, I had a hard time going to sleep too. So the only way that I could go to sleep was if my mom would actually physically touch my head. So I think it was like a certain amount of time. It was like 15, 20, 30 seconds, and it pretty much worked magic. There were some times when she wasn't home, and not really, well, I don't know, maybe that's the way I was at the time. I was like 3 years old or something, but I wouldn't go to sleep. I just couldn't, you know. And when she got home, and as soon as she got home, and she put her hand on my head, I'd be out. And just, that kind of comfort is supernatural. I think.
Oh, no, Becky?
I remember when I was 6 or 6, she would set up play stuff on the couch in the living room, you know, and our chores would get passed on to the rest of the group. She would sit there and she had this continuing story that she would tell us, and it was about this boy and this girl and their quest for the lion's heart. And it was basically like God and this boy and girl and all these adventures that he went through, and every time they get sick, you know, she would continue the story, but it would only be for like a day or something, and then the next day she'd tell us a little bit more, usually before we went to bed, so that she could go to sleep, because we'd be sleeping out in the living room. And there are times that I remember I'd stayed a little bit longer, but I could hear the story, and it was just so cool how she would distract us, and, you know, she knew that we were hurting and that we were not feeling good, but she did everything she could to make us comfortable. And then on top of that, you know, she could have just left us with the DVD or, you know, done whatever, but she would tell those stories. And I mean, even now, looking back, like, they're better than any of the stories that I read and any of the movies that I watched, you know, and it's just amazing. It was really incredible.
Yes,
you did. Okay, I was in elementary school, and we used to always go on, like, field trips to the zoo and stuff, and my mom would always come on the field trips with us, and on, like, the bus ride, like, saying the astronauts sing the bear song, you know, the other day. So whenever I hear that song, I sing it, and, like, once I hear it, I'm always saying, me and my dad started singing it. That was cool.
Yeah.
I remember one more thing. A couple more things. I remember one time when I was like, I don't know how old was I when I broke my arm at church at Crown Hill. I was like, I remember falling down the stairs, and I remember looking up and seeing my mom, and I needed my mom. You know? Yeah, that's a cool one. There's also another one. Another one about Christmas. I always remember her staying up to like 5 o'clock in the morning wrapping presents for us for Christmas, just to make it special for us. thought that was pretty cool too.
I remember one time, we all used to do the whole Easter basket thing, and like for Christmas, we got cookies and candles even and everything. But on Easter, I remember they used to leave like cotton swabs around, then tear them up. And my mom was, and so we think that there was like bunny hands, you know. I think they wanted to get away with that a little too much for it, because I think me and my mother tried looking for it, and we found some like underneath the couch, and there was a big ball of hair. Yeah, that's the bunny hair. Should we pray?
I guess so. Listen, any last ones?
How's your chance? I like popcorn prayer.
That's a lot of prayer.
I'll start, and then if you guys want to pray, you can. And my question. Dear Father in heaven, so much. For everything that you have done, Father, Lord, for my Lord, that you so much for us, that we can't quit to follow God. Lord, our Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for this wonderful day, Lord, and we also thank you so much for all the moms you've given us in the church, and also for our own moms. Lord, you have done so much for us, Lord, and we thank you for the example that you set when you were dying on the cross, Lord, that you set the example that we need to put our moms first and make sure that we take care of them, because they raised us and they guided us along in all our paths and all our struggles, and Lord, we just thank you for them, and help us to return the favor as they grow older and we grow older. Help us to be there for them, and Lord, we just lift you up, and we want to say that we're thankful for the sacrifice of your Son too, that you made this whole body possible, that we can be a family here together, and that we can live to serve you and to be with you and to ultimately come into your kingdom in heaven as one huge family, Lord. Lots of mothers and brothers and sons and daughters and sisters and uncles and aunts and whatever else you can think of. Lord, just thank you that you are our Father and that your Son is our brother, our friend.
We thank you so much, Lord, for all you do. In Jesus' name, amen.